affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. Wow. Finally, Monday. Daggum, I didn't think we'd ever get through Saturday and Sunday. It was a grim little Saturday, too. My Alabama Crimson Tide falling to the LSU Tigers. Ugh. The Bayou Bengals. Ugh. Just hurt. And losing in overtime at that. And the long dry spell between now and the next Mountaineer game. That's Thanksgiving. Heck, by the time the Mountaineer game comes on Thanksgiving night or Thanksgiving afternoon, I'll be all turkeyed up and half, you know, half anesthetized out of my mind with what's that chemical in a bird? Tryptophan. But I am awfully glad to be with you this evening, and hope all is well for you. And tickled to death that you could join me for our evening little romp through the facts and the fun in this little dust-up. And, of course, you heard the phone number there in the opening. The other phone number, of course, 304-658-3333. The email, bob@headonradio.com. And my lovely wife produces. You can reach her at agnes@headonradio.com. Now, later in the show, I don't know if you caught it or not, but we've got some sound bites from Meet the Sleazebag yesterday morning. Republican national committeeman and most likely incredibly gay human being who is self-loathing and closeted, Ken Mellman, appeared with Tim Russert to field a bunch of softballs. Now, stop it! You people got dirty minds. But at any rate, Russert did, you know, he played him a couple of sound bites, and Mellman sat there and toed the party line. And what a toad he is. And so we've got some of that for you, and I think you'll really enjoy it. But before we do any of that, let's pull it a little closer to home. To wit, the front page. You hear this? That is a real, live, honest-to-goodness Charleston Gazette. If it wasn't a real, live, honest-to-goodness Charleston Gazette, I couldn't do that. Now, front page above the fold, it looks like we've got another Republican suffering from profound ethical lapses. But why should we be surprised at that? A lot of people for a long time have wondered just exactly what our, and for those listening outside the state of West Virginia, we had this little riot. It just sort of rose up like some sort of ugly festering boil. This little Republican power family, the Warner Brothers and the Warner sister Dot. The Warner Brothers, Chris and Casey and Monty. How could I forget Monty Warner? Monty ran for governor. Casey was U.S. attorney, and Chris was chairman of the party. It was just an incestuous little party. So that being the case, Casey was U.S. attorney and was summarily dismissed not too awfully long back, and no real answers as to why that was. Until today. If you got your Charleston Gazette, you know that Casey Warner was embroiled with a guy named Bill Charnock. Bill Charnock is, of course, a Republican. And he was out there trying to solicit donations from Casey Warner, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of West Virginia. And in addition to that, it turns out Mr. Charnock, according to an investigation by a legislative audit committee, use the language of the audit itself. In essence, this is a quote, in essence, Mr. Charnock was being paid by the state of West Virginia to work on his and his family's personal political campaigns. Using state phones, using state emails, using state copiers, copy paper, fax machines, all belonging to the West Virginia Prosecuting Attorney's Institute. In one email to his wife, Charnock complains that an employee was keeping him from copying campaign materials on a state-owned machine. Quote, I am trying to get a bunch of stuff printed, but Amy is hogging the copier, so I am having a hard time, he wrote at 3:05 p.m. on July 18, 2003. Now, if this was a Democrat, my God, the little wingnut monkeys, the real live, honest to God, in the wild, freeper types that inhabit my message boards at headonradio.com would be screaming. I mean, they'd have their one little typing finger out, they'd have the caps lock in, and it would all be capital letters, dirty Democrat, dirty Democrat. Now, I haven't checked. So you'll have to go and have a look at yourself, headonradio.com, message boards. But I'd guess that, and maybe I'm wrong, that it's been pretty quiet about Dirty Bill Charnock. Because, of course, and that's the way, you know, West Virginia is just a little microcosm of the rest of the nation. You know, if a Republican engages in sleaze and filth and fraud and deception and lies and general dirty dealing, it's okay. And in a sense, I guess it is, because it's what we expect them to do, isn't it? If you're an elected Republican, we expect you to be dirty. If you're an elected Republican, we expect you to walk out on your third wife while she's pregnant, Vic Sprouse. If you're an elected Republican, we expect you to use state copy paper, state copy machine, state phone, state faxes, state computer, state email to run your dirty little campaign, Bill Charnock. It's what we expect. We do, however, hold Democrats to a higher standard. And therefore the hue and cry, I guess, when a Democrat screws up. But it looks like the whole Warner political machine has now fully and finally collapsed. There's even an email in the article where Casey says, let me finesse my brother Chris if you need some help from the party. This is the same Chris Warner who put out the Warner and Bush campaign signs that caused the Bush campaign to have an absolute heebie-jeebie aneurysm because, of course, they knew that Monty Warner had galloping political pneumonia. and they wanted nothing to do with him. So, that, you know, that's a nice start. Dirty, filthy Republicans. Wow. Hey, it's Monday. What else? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
James A.G. in the back of some taxi on the run. So much time wasted. The feast of life just tasted, then it's gone. But the life that he was living and the gift that he was given were all one. The bad comes with the good, the madness and love, it's all or none. end up like Terry Malloy in a cab carrying on.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. 19 and a half minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is easy to remember. 877, the number 4, Head On. HEADON. That's 877-443-2366, locally 304-658-3333. I said we started out with Bill Charnock. Let's lay out just exactly what it is. This man was the head of the West Virginia Prosecuting Attorneys Institute. Now, I don't know. It's an organization, as far as I can understand it, that it's sort of a prosecutor's country club, if you will. They have little conventions and stuff and get together and do seminars and things like that. And when a prosecutor has a conflict of interest, they provide a prosecutor to in his stead, so the conflicted prosecutor won't have to get in ethical hot water. And Bill Charnock, if I correctly understand again, was head of that organization. Well, according to this legislative audit, as detailed in today's ChazGaz, this is from page 9A, where the rest of it is continued. Auditors found dozens of examples of Charnock using state resources to support his family's campaigns, including his sister Jane Charnock's successful 2002 bid to become a family court judge, and his brother John Charnock's unsuccessful effort to become Charleston City Treasurer in 2003. Man, these people sound like Bushes. Charnock did the following, according to the auditors. Now, remember, when we talk about state stuff, we're talking about stuff that I paid for, you paid for, we paid for, and continue to pay for. Ordered his state-paid computer expert, and state-paid computer experts, you know, it's a state salary. Nobody's going to get rich, but nobody's going broke either. Ordered his state-paid computer expert to design www.votecharnock.com, which promoted all three campaigns. He asked a state employee to reserve a room at the Marriott for a fundraiser and other employees to proofread campaign materials. You following this? He printed and copied thousands of campaign letters on office equipment. He generated an estimated 700 campaign-related emails on his office computer in the 14 months before his election. And the 2 months before the November 2004 election, he didn't even go to work! Holy cow! Nice work if you can get it, Bill. Buddy. Great job. This is a prosecuting attorney. This is a guy that we put in office, or the people of Kanawha County and in general across the state, people are put in office to enforce the criminal laws of the state. You know, these are the people who are supposed to be out there managing the screw-ups. The DUIs and the stream litterings and the murder and the mayhem and the rape and the kiddie diddling. And he didn't even show up for work. This is the kind of dirty stuff that... Lordy, lordy, lordy. What do you do with this guy? Oh, meanwhile, he comes out. Here's Bill Charnock's answer to it all.
This is an effort by the powers that be to keep me from doing my job. It is not going to work.
Yes, dear.
Is that him not going to work, or is that going to work that they're doing this?
Oh, very good, dear. Very good.
And how much does, I know that we buy toner cartridges, and they're kind of expensive. How many toner cartridges do you think that it took for that?
I have no idea.
I mean, I understand him not showing up for work, because that's what you have assistant prosecuting attorneys for. But
No. The prosecutor still has to come to work, sweetheart.
Do you think they noticed that he was MIA?
Do you know how much we pay a prosecuting attorney in, say, Kanawha County?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what?
Oh, I think it's about $55,000.
No. More, unless I'm mistaken, more like $72,000.
Are you serious?
I'm serial.
Aw, man. Inflation. They get yearly raises, but minimum wage never goes up, right?
No, I mean, I might be right. Maybe it's 63. I don't think it's 58. This is the biggest county in the state. And I think, I remember some, it's a little less than a circuit judge. You know, bigger than a bread box, smaller than a camel.
So it's Christmas in July for not showing up for work.
Hey, if you're a Republican, you know.
Wow. Maybe I need to change my voter's registration.
Now, wait a minute. I could have been wrong. This is when he was head of the Prosecuting Attorneys Institute that he wasn't showing up for work.
Why should he? What is there for him to do?
I don't know. Who was doing all the emailing and making the calls and making the copies and stuff? At least, you know.
It was those little gremlins. They were trying to get him caught on something.
Oh, God almighty. So, you know, just another dirty Republican. When are we gonna figure out that, you know, Republican man speak with forked tongue? Okay. Talk about law and order. Talk about... how morally upright they are, and then turn around and rob us blind. The audit quotes the agency's database coordinator, the Prosecuting Attorneys Institute, is saying, quote, Bill asked me to clear out his computer so that nothing could be found. I told him that the auditors might have software to restore any files. He then told me not to do it. So, let's see. Thief, fraud, bunko artist, and what else? Why, that looks like obstruction of justice. Thank God, there's a Republican in the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of West Virginia, because if Bill Charnock was a Democrat, well, there wouldn't be any skin left on his bones by now, and Casey Warner or some cretin like him would be screaming to the House, political corruption! So, you know, it's time to hit the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, your phone calls to 877-4 head on. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 27 minutes before the hour. And, enough blather. Straight to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Yeah, less phone calls and less music.
Huh? What's that? You there, Jim? Hello, Jim? Jim?
Yeah.
There you are.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
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 Yeah. Hello?
You're on the air.
Jim, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Hello? Hello, hey.
Yeah, we're right. We're right here.
There.
I'm right here, too.
Okay.
Well, go for it, man.
Well, good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Okay. You're breaking up badly, though. I don't know what the problem is.
Nor do I.
Well, anyway, I think you're talking about a little fraud, waste, and abuse.
Yeah, among other things.
Well, you know, that, unfortunately, is in the fine tradition of people like Arch Moore.
Oh, I forgot all about dear Arch.
And let's see, who else can we name? Arch Moore, and were there some problems with Cecil Underwood?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, some people, when they get into positions of power, they will abuse it. I mean, I've seen people do it in federal government. I've seen people risk careers by using a government envelope.
But, Jim, this isn't a government envelope. This is, my God, this is pretty brazen, this Charnock stuff, if it proves to be true.
Oh, listen, nothing surprises me. I knew a major in the Pentagon who used his government Amex card and ran up $50,000 on it.
Doing what?
Well, they said he was making house payments.
Brother.
You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that happens.
Well, but what, I mean, do we just tolerate it?
They didn't tolerate him.
Well, I'm hoping we don't tolerate this guy if it proves to be true.
Well, I mean, he should be terminated and made to, make restitution.
Well, there's only one problem here.
And you say he's a lawyer, a prosecutor?
Yeah, that's the problem. He's a prosecutor. He's an elected official. The only way to get him out is to impeach him.
Well, then, that mechanism should be employed. I mean, that's the only way you can do it. If he's impeached, he's impeached, and then he's removed. He'll be impeached and formally accused, and he'll be tried. Is that the way the system works?
It is. It is. But can you imagine the hue and cry, Jim, if this had been a Democrat?
Well,
I mean, granted, it made the front page of the newspaper.
Yeah, it would be if it were a Democrat. Of course, the Republicans are the moral majority, and they're the ones who want to restore integrity in government. And that seems to be their shibboleth, right?
Yep, exactly.
And, I guess you could say that we ought to call them stove lid because they've never been known to steal a red-hot stove lid with their bare hands. But, I mean, you know, if these people are going to be paragons of virtue and examples of those who hold the public trust, then they need to be better than Caesar's wife.
Right, who must be above, beyond reproach.
And they're hardly that. I mean, there's just so much stuff going on. It's just, I've seen it go on in D.C. and places like that. It's just, I mean, this is just chicken feed. But, I mean, this guy, they need to get rid of him. If he's been using state resources and faxes and God only knows what else. And what else? He said emails.
Emails. My God, he had a state computer expert design his website, his political campaign website. That seems just a little bit beyond the pale for me.
Well, we just don't mob here. You don't do things like that. I mean, that's just brazen.
Yeah, that was the word I used. VoteCharnock.com.
And the state, and that was being paid for by out of the general fund.
Well, yeah, because the state supports the Prosecuting Attorneys Institute, and the state hired this computer expert. This web designer, I suppose. But what's more, according to these allegations, Jim, he didn't just use it for his own political gain. He used it for the political campaigns of his brother and sister as well.
Well, how nice to help your family. I mean, this is the spirit of Boss Tweed.
Yeah, how nice of us to help his family.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even Boss Tweed would be, and Tammany Hall would probably have better sense than this, and at the height of their corruption, you know?
Yeah, indeed.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, these people, they just think that they're unassailable. They can do anything. And, you know, with them, a little hush money does a lot of talking. And eventually, be sure your sins will find you out.
Well, I imagine that's what we're taught in Sunday school, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just basically, it's just basic karma.
Well, why is this so hard for them to why is it so hard for them to be straight?
Maybe it's a time-honored tradition, but these people are so crooked they use a corkscrew for a ruler. You know that.
Well, yeah, and they'll have to be buried standing up because they're too crooked. They're too crooked to be laid down in a grave. I understand that, but I mean, this is the prosecuting attorney of Kanawha County. I mean, it's granted the biggest prosecutor job in the state of West Virginia, but it's still just a county prosecutor job.
Well, these people think that because of their positions, they're virtually unassailable. And obviously he didn't feel like he was accountable to anybody. And, you know, call it hubris or just complete lack of disregard for any decent sense of doing business or whatever, but I mean, he broke the law, and he's also violated ethics, and he is guilty of fraud, waste, and abuse, and that's what all this comes under.
Well, it generally does, and all of this has been referred to the FBI, the West Virginia State Police, the Secretary of State's office, and the State Ethics Commission as well. So,
well, you can be certain of this, if they're involved in it, because the mills of the gods grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine.
They do that, and grind thy bones to make my bread. Is that what the giant said?
But I mean, I'll tell you, when you start getting the FBI and people like this involved in it, they will spend $100 to recover a penny.
Well, that's true too. Indeed, it is.
I mean, you know, that's just the way they are. I mean, once they get their teeth into something, they have the tenacity of a pit bull, and they should. And maybe this will teach some of his other Republican brethren that they're not above the law. You say this guy's related to Monty Warner?
Well, no, he was tied in with Casey Warner, trying to solicit funds from the Warner family for his political campaign.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like I say, I mean, look at the, ever since Richard Nixon, I mean, the guy won the presidency with the greatest landslide in history. But he was so paranoid that he had to have somebody burgle the Democratic headquarters at Watergate. He was just so insecure, I guess, from getting trounced in 1960 the way he was. And it ultimately resulted in his own denouement. And look at people like Spiro Agnew, Newt Gingrich, and Tom DeLay, and that whole crowd up there in the White House. I mean, they're all just, I mean, they're having a refresher course in ethics right now for the members of the White House staff, okay?
Yeah, and that was hilarious, wasn't it?
Well, I thought it was kind of funny, too. But, I mean, you know, I don't think that I saw anything in the Clinton White House.
One indictment. There was
like some of the stuff these people are doing.
In the Clinton White House, there was an indictment of an undersecretary for agriculture. One.
Well, yeah, that's just basically where you put people that where they can't do any harm.
Right. On the other hand, though, Jim, 137 indictments out of the Reagan administration?
Oh, yeah, and not to mention Iran-Contra.
Well, Daddy Bush had to issue a whole raft of last-minute pardons in order to keep his fat from being thrown in the fire?
Well, sure. I mean, that thing with Ollie North, and I mean, the fact that man has a radio program out of Arlington when he should be in Leavenworth.
Well, look, the same thing goes for G. Gordon Liddy.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, this, and he's just nuts. And Ollie North is not much better. As a matter of fact, if you look back at the records on the Washington police blotter back in the early 70s, they picked him up for running down through the streets of Alexandria butt-ass naked.
No.
Yeah.
Ollie?
Yes, sir.
Upright, God-fearing Christian Ollie?
Yeah.
Oh, mercy.
He made streaking, fashionable before it became the thing to do.
Heavenly days.
I mean, he was a pace setter, a trend setter. If you get upset and frustrated, put on your Adidas and run naked.
You know, I don't think West Virginia's ready for that from me, Jim. We've got to hit our break, though. Good talking to you. Have yourself a great night.
Same to you. Looking at you. Bye.
Bye now. All right. When we come back, more fun. This is Head On.
Here's to all you lucky dogs, it's heads or tails. Here's to all you filthy rich, I wish you well. Here's to all the pretty women made for cash. And here's to dashing daddy's son, he's such a flash. Well, I've been looking and walking around the Sunset Square, singing and talking with my friends down there, sitting and listening with a young man's ear to all the rainbow dreams. Here's to all the shitty jobs that I despise.
kid. I'm 6.
I'm 9.
I'm 4 and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Cause mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, gone, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Is gone?
Hello?
All right, welcome back. 12 minutes before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Just to finish up, I couldn't help noticing a couple of similarities here in the Charnock story. Again, from page 9A. From page 9A of today's ChazGaz, this paragraph. Charnock knew what he was doing was wrong, the audit states. In January 2004, he signed a policy by his executive board promising he would not use the staff and resources of his office for the campaign. Now, if I had the Jeopardy music handy, we'd play this. We'd play that while you sorted out just exactly what that reminds you of. Here's your hint. The secret word is Vanguard. The password is Vanguard. Got it yet? Sure you do. It's Sammy Melito ethics time. You remember Supreme Court Justice nominee Sammy Melito, the guy who supports the strip searching of 10-year-old little girls? That guy? Sure. And he signed a document before he was confirmed as a circuit court judge for the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that said he would absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, recuse himself from any litigation involving Vanguard Securities. And then he went on to hear their appeal, and now he's come out and said, well, that one really didn't count, you know, because it was a long while after I signed that piece of paper, and, confound you people, you were supposed to forget that, now weren't you? So I guess Bill Charnock tap dancing on the statement he signed for the Prosecuting Attorneys Institute, it's kind of a Republican fashion statement, isn't it? You know, ethics are for the rest of us. Ethics are for Democrats. Ethics for Tom DeLay? Who do we think we are? Ethics for Sammy Melito? The nerve of us. Ethics for Bill Charnock? I don't think so, sunshine. Now, the Prosecuting Attorneys Institute offered to appoint a special prosecutor to look into the matter. And like I told Jim, the FBI, West Virginia State Police, Secretary of State's Office, and the State Ethics Commission have also been given the information. And the auditor himself, who is a fellow named Aaron Allred, he said he couldn't, he didn't know whether any of those agencies had launched their own investigations. The Department of Justice, however, has dropped their investigation of Casey Warner. Well, of course they have. I mean, the Bush administration may have gotten rid of Casey, but, well, you know how it is with the Bush administration. Ethics only goes so far. But really, if you signed a document like Melito did, if you signed a document like Charnock did, saying that there are some things that you recognize would be ethical breaches and you promise not to do them, what does it mean when you turn around and just sling it out the window, throw it in the mud, dance on it, you know, just completely abrogate any semblance of ethics that you may have had? And I guess the simple question is, does a person who would do something like that belong in public service? Now, for my part, I don't think that person does belong in public service. Bill Charnock does not belong in the prosecuting attorney's office in Kanawha County. And I asked the earlier question, why would he do something like that? For those of you who are college football fans, or sports fans in general, I suppose, when a team is facing a game coming up, but there's a bigger game the next week beyond that, and they don't perform so well in the game they're supposed to win, and we talk about them looking beyond the matters at hand to the bigger stakes coming up. Could that be what we're talking about with Charnock? I mean, if a prosecutor in the state of West Virginia is going to get some notoriety, it's going to be the prosecutor of Kanawha County. You know, the prosecutor of Ritchie County, the prosecutor of Fayette County, Raleigh County, not so much. But there's an element of life in the limelight to the Kanawha County Prosecutor's Office, and it might be seen as, perchance, a stepping stone to higher office. maybe, prosecutors are terribly fond of becoming judges. Prosecutors are terribly fond of becoming legislators, Supreme Court justices, dare we say, Attorney General? So is it possible that Charnock thought that, nobody'd be watching for this because, it's just a little countywide office? The question remains, will we tolerate that kind of behavior? Now, he says there's nothing to it, but computers have a way of being computers and having longer memories even than an elephant that never forgets. And his database coordinator, Charnox does, says Bill asked me to clear out his computer so that nothing could be found. I told him the auditors might have software to restore any files. He then told me not to do it. Now, A, that sounds like an attempt at obstruction of justice. B, it sounds like someone who isn't terribly, terribly savvy about the nature of computers. I've heard stories that the FBI has recovered hard drives from the bottoms of rivers that they've been able to pull data off of. But if you've done nothing wrong, as he said, this is an effort by the powers that be to keep me from doing my job. It is not going to work. Is somebody out there trying to stop this guy from prosecuting DUIs? Domestic abuse? Four-wheeler theft? Meth lab busts? Crack cocaine sales? I doubt it. But he says there's nothing to it, and yet he felt like he needed to clean up his hard drive. Makes a guy wonder. This is Head On.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
You.
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Almost frightened, but my hotel room as usual is freezing in a cat. On TV they prosecute anyone who's excited, so I put on my overcoat and went down to find. In Revlon and Crimplin they captured my heart to the strain of the piano and a cocktail murderess. She was singing that it
it's too late, I agree with that part. We're two English girls who changed their address. Oh, it seems we've been crying for years and for years. Now we don't speak any English, just American without tears. Just American without tears. Queen, and the other was a friend. They had known rogues and rascals, and showbiz impresarios. While the boys were licking Hitler, they had something to defend. From men armed with chewing gum and fine nylon hose, by a bicycle factory as they sounded the siren and returned into the dance hall. She knew he was the one. Wasn't all our answer. She laughed when I told him I'm the sheriff of Nottingham and this is Little John. Oh, it seems we've been crying years and for years. Now I don't speak any English, just American without tears. Just American without tears. Through the tearful goodbyes, newsreel commentator said, cheerio, G.I. brides. Soon they'll be finding the cold facts and lies. New words for suspenders and young girls' backsides. Now I'm in America and running from you, like my grandfather before me walked of New York. And I think of all the women I've turned me more than you. When I open my mouth and I can't seem to talk. Oh, it seems we've been crying years and for years. And now I don't speak any English, just American without tears. Just American without tears. Oh, American without tears, just American without tears.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, let's crank it up and do it some more. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is, of course, 304-658-3333. Toll free, 877-443-2366. Email to bob@headonradio.com. And there is a boatload of stuff out there this evening beyond Bad Bill Charnock. For immediate release, 14 November 2005. These are from my right wing PR buddies. There's an election going on, a congressional election going on out in Orange County, California, home of just boatloads of filthy, filthy, filthy Republicans. Minuteman Project founder and congressional candidate Jim Gilchrist. Oh, mercy, this is going to be good. I mean, this is one of those really, really, really out there crazy type of Republicans. He called on the League of Women Voters to be removed as co-sponsor of Tuesday's University of California Irvine, City of Irvine debate among 48th district candidates. The League of Women Voters. Here's what he said. The League of Women Voters supports taxpayer-funded abortion up to the day of delivery. New and expanded gun control laws, higher taxes on working people, socialized medicine, and unrestricted illegal immigration. This organization is totally inappropriate to sponsor a debate, and I will not participate if they are not removed from all involvement, since allowing them is to sanction their far-left agenda in direct opposition of everything I stand for.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
Gilchrist also called on the Republican and Libertarian Party candidates to join him in demanding the League's removal from the debate, scheduled to be co-sponsored by the University of California. We went through that. Adding the League of Women Voters as a sponsor of this debate is not acceptable and will preclude my participation. While both the Democratic and Green Party candidates would be expected to endorse the ultra-liberal Barbara Boxer-style platform the LWV endorses, it is alien to everything I believe in, as well as to the views of most Republicans and Libertarians. I hope both these candidates will join me in insisting on the LWV's removal.
Well, I've been to one world fair, a picnic, and a rodeo, and that's the stupidest thing I ever heard come over a set of earphones.
Ain't that the truth? Now, you know who this Jim Gilchrist cretin is, right? This is the guy, I got me a gun, can I shoot me a beaner now? Wants to go and patrol down on the border and play Johnny Jump Jet. Border Patrol agent. I mean, these are guys who sit with umbrellas and folding chairs and 3x9 scopes, 4.5x12 loopholes on their 300 Magnum deer rifles. Oh, we're gonna protect the borders from them poor people what's coming across to come and work for all them rich white folks in California. We're gonna do it.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's the League of Women Voters. Now, we've had some pretty wacky human beings run for political office. But I don't recall any of them coming out. And the League of Women Voters is, I mean, debates are their gig. And I don't recall any League of Women Voters office ever requiring any candidate to sign on to some sort of pledge in support of taxpayer-funded abortion up to the day of delivery. New and expanded gun control laws. High taxes on working people, socialized medicine, and unrestricted illegal immigration.
Have you ever seen a commie drink a glass of water? Vodka. That's what they drink, isn't it? Never water. On no account will a commie ever drink water, and not without good reason.
We're talking about a nut here. I don't know. I've said it before. I don't know who put me on this list of wingnut public relations announcements, but daggum, I'm grateful. Half the time when I'm going through my email, I'll be sitting back here, and then Agnes will come running back here thinking I'm having, you know, some sort of a fit, because I'll be cackling fit to lay an egg. What's wrong with you, Bob? And I just point to the screen, and she's like, oh, dear. Oh, dear. And she starts cackling, too, and pretty soon the kids are back here, and we're all just laughing at the little redneck, right-wing, Mexican-hating, socialized medicine protecting. You know, I got to tell you, I believe that, and I truly do, that universal health care would be the best thing that has probably happened to this country since the civil rights movement. But not for Jim Gilchrist. If we have to give Jim Gilchrist affordable health care too, I'll just say no, we'll take a pass on it until he's shuffled off to his reward beyond this mortal coil. Because this brain dead monkey, oh Lord God, Billy Bob. This guy, we want, we want all that Darwinism to sort of kick in for him, you know?
And on the third day, God created the Remington Bull Action Rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
Well, thank you to the National Rifle Association for that policy statement. They really are mean, evil, pig-eyed, nasty, and crazy, these Republicans, aren't they? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, but Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged onto energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Agnes might have been. That wasn't me. This is Ed Ott. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is, of course, 304-658-3333 outside the area, and we pay the freight 877-443-2366 and email to Bob at headonradio.com and my lovely and talented wife, Agnes, at agnes@headonradio.com. You see the common theme? There's a story that's been, well, I had it Friday, didn't get to it in time. If you see something developing in this case that I don't, by all means, please let me know, because I don't want to let this thing drop just like we didn't let Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, drop. This case in particular, the... What should we call him? I don't know. The antifreeze killer? What's his name? James Cowan? He entered a... And by the way, journalism moment. This AP report says, James Cowan pleaded innocent Thursday and was... No, he didn't. No, he doggone well didn't. He pleaded not guilty. I don't know of any state in the union that allows you to plead innocent. There's guilty, there's not guilty, there's no contest, nulla contendere. There is no innocent plea. But anyway, he entered a plea of not guilty on Thursday, was ordered held without bail. This is the guy who was arrested last week during a commercial break at his radio station where he worked in Jefferson City, Missouri. Not too terribly far from where I once went to school at Harvard on Stinson. Fine little institution of higher learning. But he was arrested for the first-degree murder in the September 2004 death of 31-year-old Julie Cowan. Julie died after being slowly poisoned with ethylene glycol, a primary ingredient in antifreeze. And the update on this, it turns out that he told this alleged Republican killer, told a friend he was going to spend his wife's life insurance money on a house and a BMW convertible. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. These guys have no imagination whatsoever, do they? They can't get past the killing. They can't... The bloodthirstiness, we know the Republicans, they enjoy the killing. Yeah, I'm going to buy... I bumped off the wife, and I'm going to buy me a little house in the burbs and a... Well, you know, one of those midlife crisis mobiles. Because I'm going to have to go out cruising for hot chicks now that the wife's pushing up daisies. Yes, dear.
Do you think they enjoy it, or is it just the indifference? Kind of sounds cold and calculated to me.
Well, the part where you're, here, honey, you look all hot and sweaty, drink your Gatorade, that's cold and calculated in my book.
I eat and drink what I fix.
Now, that was just mean. That was just mean. I'm a doggone good cook, and you know it.
Just kidding.
Now, on the other hand, well, no. The couple were struggling financially after moving to the Boston area in early 2004, and investigators think he may have killed his wife for her $250,000 life insurance policy. These were from documents filed in court on Thursday. Cowan told a close friend after his wife's funeral, quote, "I'm going to take Julie's insurance money, buy a BMW Z4 convertible, go back to Kansas City, and build a house. With what money is left over, I'm going to start a foundation in Julie's name and run it for a few years." Yeah, run it into the ground. You gotta love these people. You just have to love these people. And, yeah, one of those little odds and ends that I really couldn't stand to let slip by. And also, from the odds and ends department, or blood-curdlingly chilling stories that you really, really don't... let's do this now in case you might be going to bed right after the show. Dear Leader has so thoroughly screwed up that he has apparently ruined all hopes for a straight-through dynasty in 08 because Jebby Bush, father of Noel, the crack addict, and one of the others was involved in something rotten recently. Oh, yeah. Jebby Jr. or whatever got popped in Austin for disorderly conduct, obstructing an officer, and public intoxication. Yeah, that Jebby Bush, you know, the traditional family values Republican. He was in Berlin, yeah, Germany. And he absolutely said, "You should never say never," quote, "but for the 2008 election, my answer is definitely no." This was for a magazine article interview. But here's the bone-chilling part. Here's the part that'll make the little hairs stand up on the back of your neck and your blood run cold. Asked whether his answer meant a later challenge was possible, he said, "Let's say there's a vague chance." Vague indeed. You do remember, if you watched ConCon, Conservative Con, the Republican National Convention, that obscene little orgy that they threw on top of the dead from 9/11, back in September of 2004. You might just remember the very momentary glimpse that we got on the TV of a whole cluster of Bushaviks, all of them holding signs saying Jeb for president. Did you see that? It was just a flash and gone, because frankly they didn't want that to be seen. But yeah, the Bush family still has one more Bush in store for us. And frankly, if the Bush family could, they think that America would be better off set up as some sort of Caesarian dictatorship. Because they have a real taste for royalty and would love to be royalty themselves. Bush is, Jebby's 52. And, he said that, yeah, 08's out, 12's a possibility. Isn't that enough just to give you the fantods, the nightmares, and bring you up out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning in a cold flop sweat? Look at what his evil big brother has been able to do so far. Can you imagine what a hatchet job could be completed if only one more Bush could have 8 more years to destroy the America that the founders gave us? Ugh. It's like walking through a spider web in the woods. It just makes you feel all creepy. This is Head On.
We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
While he was scheming, I was dreaming in the beamer, just scheming. Can't believe that I caught my man cheating. So I found another way to make him pay for it all. So I went to Neiman Marcus on a shopping spree. And on the way I grabbed Foley and Mia. And as the cash box rang, I thought everything away. There goes the dream we used to say. There goes the times we spent away. There goes the love. Now, there goes the house we made. nothing else till there was just nothing left. And I paid all the bills about a month too late. It's a shame we have to play these games. Love, we had to fade away, away. There goes the dreams we used to say. There goes the times we sent away. There goes the love I have cheated on me, and that's for that now. There goes the house we made a home. There goes you'll never leave me alone. Oh, all the lies you told, this is what you own, lady.
Welcome back. 27 minutes before the hour, and we're halfway through tonight's Monday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And let's, I promised earlier in the program some fun with Chinless Ken Melman, Republican National Committee Chair. He appeared on Tim Russert, it used to be Meet the Press. It's more like Meet the Prestitutes now. Tim sitting there. Boy, you just bore down on poor Ken Melman. You know, he asked him a couple of tough questions, and Ken just sort of sashayed through them. And, you know, Tim moved on. That was a different story with Howard Dean. Him he bore down on and continued to bear down. But, you know, Tim Russert works for NBC, so we understand, don't we? But if you were in church while Meet the Press was on, or if you were still asleep from staying up late and watching college football Saturday night, or if you'd been out dancing the night away with your beloved or two or three or whatever floats your boat, and you didn't catch Meet the Press, you really missed a lot of fun. Now, one of those tough questions that Tim Russert asked him had to do with why on Friday, when Dear Leader went to, what is it, Toblerone, Pennsylvania? I still can't remember the name of that place, where he had another one of those hand-picked audiences of apparently the last few military families in America that still are willing to be in the same county with him, and used Veterans Day to make a political, you know, just an absolute hackneyed political attack speech. We played some sound bites Friday night, but you really didn't get the full gist of it. He did not say one word about the sacrifice of veterans of past wars. You get the idea, you know, that ugly little yellow coward, if he ever so much as opened his mouth about Vietnam, the earth might open up and swallow him, considering the hypocrisy that he engaged in where that was concerned. No mention of World War II, no mention of Korea, no mention of the Spanish-American War, the American Revolution. Well, he did get in some stuff on commies, but we covered that. But Russert asked Melman why it was that he came, why it was that Dear Leader came out so strongly against, against the people who are questioning the validity of this murderous little rampage that he started in Iraq. And this is what, this is amazing. Melman was clearly on topic. He was going by the bullet points. He was going by the talking points that someone had handed him this morning. But listen to this carefully, would you?
The president got briefed every single day. The members of Congress had access to information. The information was basically the same, except what the Rob Silberman Commission found was that the information the president got was more dramatic. In other words, the argument here says that somehow if they saw what he saw, they wouldn't have believed the case for war was made. In fact, what the commission who looked at it found out was the opposite was true, which was that the evidence for war was more dramatically presented to the president than it was to Congress.
Now, stop. I know you've already, you know, you're liberals, you're Democrats, you're progressives, you're decent human beings, you've already figured it out. But in point of fact, if, as was Melman's point, every single shred of evidence presented to the president is more dramatic, which just leads me to this vision of kind of sleazy Rice singing out the presidential daily briefings operatically. Oh, where's that clip from Aida when we need it? But if it's all more dramatic than anything any congressman ever sees, did they not realize when they were putting this talking point together that somebody might draw the conclusion? And run it again.
The president got briefed every single day. The members of Congress had access to information. The information was basically the same, except what the Rob Silberman Commission found was that the information the president got was more dramatic. In other words, the argument here says that somehow if they saw what he saw, they wouldn't have believed the case for war was made. In fact, what the commission who looked at it found out was the opposite was true, which was that the evidence for war was more dramatically presented to the president than it was to Congress.
Really? And if his staff is so dedicated and so committed to making sure that dear leader has every last dramatic detail. Well, travel back in time with me, if you will, to August the 6th. 2001, and a presidential daily briefing entitled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. Now, you've seen it, I've seen it, we've seen it, and we've seen the redacted version, of course, not the full-tilt dramatic version. So now, thanks to Ken Melman's appearance yesterday on Meet the Press, we know that on August the 6th, 2001, as George Bush sat lounging by the pool or cutting brush or talking to the cows or whatever in the world he does while he's in Crawford, Texas, we know now that his aides must fairly have been screaming at him, trying to impress upon him the dramatic qualities of the idea that Osama bin Laden was determined to cause massive harm in the United States in the very near future. And he did nothing. Nothing. Not a damned thing. And 3,000 Americans died on 9/11. 3,000 husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, fathers, mothers died on 9/11, despite the fact that you heard Ken Melman say it, every piece of information presented to the president is presented more dramatically than anything that Congress sees. You ready for that impeachment yet? I'm ready for that impeachment. $70 million in the impeachment of the most successful president in the last 50 years over something as inconsequential as a semen stain on a blue dress. And we know now that people were trying to get Dear Leader's attention dramatically because of what Melman said, dramatically. And still, he did nothing. Nothing. Not a blessed thing. But even having committed that horrid little gaffe, Melman went on in talking to Tim Russert. Melman went on and said that, this is the next talking point. It's the same excuse that's given when the cop pulls you over or pulls Bush over. What's that? The cop pulls him over and says, "Yeah, you were speeding, sir. Everybody else was doing it."
The fact is, since 1998, this administration and the previous administration had the same policy. It was regime change in Iraq. The UN looked at it. The Germans looked at it. The French looked at it. The Clinton administration looked at it. The Bush administration looked at it. Members of Congress looked at it. They all agreed that this guy has WMD, and he has a desire to have a more aggressive program going forward, and they all concluded he needed to be removed.
Liar. There was a stated policy of regime change. But no, everybody didn't do it. Everybody wasn't doing it. Oh, son, have you been smoking dope?
Well, yeah, but everybody else was doing it.
No, see, that's not an excuse. Bill Clinton did not kill 100,000 innocent Iraqi civilians in shock and awe. The Germans didn't, the French didn't, the Spanish didn't, the British didn't. Well, the British helped.
I believe it was Bring It On.
No, Shock and Awe. Do you not remember when it started?
I remember Shock and Awe, but I remember Bring It On before.
No, Bring It On was after. That was after. Shock and Awe was first, but it doesn't really matter. The point here is that Bill Clinton said regime change was the stated policy of the United States. He did not, however, say regime change is the stated policy of the United States, and I've lost my patience, so shock and awe. He didn't do that. The theory was, and oddly enough, this theory, one of the people not listed in that little catalog of lies that Melman lays out there, one of the people not listed is, interestingly, L. Brent. Is it L. Brent? Well, whatever. Brent Scowcroft, bosom buddy and dear friend and close pal and confidant of Daddy Bush, who said it was a horrible, horrible mistake to start this war. So, at least every time
Bill Clinton saw the same information, and so did Snuffy Smith, and they all agreed that regime change.
No, see, that doesn't mean start a daggum war. Regime change may be accomplished by any number of means, not the least of which is fostering a little democracy over there internally and letting them overturn the thug all by themselves and feel really good about it. You know, when you're a kid, when you've got kids or when you were a kid, you were taught, listen, if you do it yourself instead of having it handed to you, it will mean ever so much more to you. That's this. So every time you hear some, this is the talking points for the next couple of weeks or so.
Bill Clinton started that war. It's all Bill Clinton's fault. That wasn't really George Bush in March 2003. That was Bill Clinton with a rubber George Bush mask on over his head.
No. This is George Bush's baby. And he has to bathe it. Now, that's scary because we know what tends to happen to little babies when they get in bathtubs around Republicans, but never mind that. Let's take a break. This is Head On.
Show, light it all up. just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kid, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Hello, may I help you?
Middle of the road. He's trying to find me. I'm standing in the middle of life with my pants behind me. I got a smile for everyone I meet. As long as you don't try dragging my bed or dropping the bomb on my street. Now come on, baby. Get in the road. Come on now.
God, I love the Pretenders. And it's about, it's 10 minutes in front of the hour. And David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on. Yo, David.
Bob, you just need to make the buzzer sound, and then I'll say hello.
Oh, okay. I gotta re-enable the buzzer.
No, it came through. There was the big, breaker 1-9 crackle there.
Oh, okay.
But you had said David, and then I didn't hear the crackle. But anyway, yes, the Pretenders are great. She broke the mold. She's the first woman that really rocked like a man, and did it so well.
And as far as I know, is still doing it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But let's get back to this. How we present the president the information that he really, really needs. It's not enough that it's type, maybe double-spaced, maybe larger font, whatever. It's not enough that it's just typed. It's got to be presented dramatically.
Right.
So, like, maybe, what, Day-Glo crayon?
Highlighters and circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one.
Maybe a little tap dancing bombshell. We're here to hippodom. I mean, what is all of that about? Does it have to be turned into a cartoon?
Well, that's the vision I was having, you know, the dramatic presentation, because somehow or another, you've got to get his attention and hold it.
Or maybe, you know, like a computer-generated Sir Laurence Olivier as the Dark Moor from Out of Town. Go get him, Mr. President. Go get him. What? He's got a, or maybe Barking Dog singing the Stick'em song? What the heck is that about?
I can't even believe. I sat there watching it yesterday, thinking, "This doesn't work. This doesn't jive. This dramatically." I mean, you know, and we know who and what and how I am, and I've got this vision of, you know, now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this Saddam, you know.
So, like, they tone it down for the Congress for what reason? They rev it up for this double-digit IQ chimp in charge. For what reason? How do they make it dramatic, I'm wondering?
You know, I think Pee Wee Herman.
There you go. Well, I know you are, but what am I?
Now, Mr. President, get over here and cherry.
Oh. I've got to go to the theater and watch a movie. Oh, boy. It is so pathetic. I hope several of them stick to that. I hope a bunch of them try to put that over on America.
Isn't drama what we got in the run up to the war? Isn't Condoleezza Rice? Well, you know, we don't want the next warning to be a mushroom cloud. I mean, isn't that drama, David?
Well, it certainly got my attention because it told me without any doubt at all that's where they were headed. It was just a matter of, you know, talk to each other after hours until somebody hit a great phrase, not unlike an ad pitch session, you know. Not like ad guys at 6 o'clock when a presentation's due the next day. We've got to come up with a hot one so that JB or GW or whatever will sign off on this one. Plus, I mean, he wanted it. They were just trying to... Oh.
It's national security as Larry Tate and Darren Stevens.
Thank you. It is so pathetic that we don't have rational, gifted men and women around the table exchanging ideas. No, we've got people catering to an idiot. Don't say anything he doesn't want to hear. Say everything he does want to hear, but make it dramatic. Make it dramatic. Oh, this is so pathetic.
It is. I mean, That was supposed to be their big selling point, David.
Oh, I know. And now it's that even...
I mean, Bill Clinton, Jay Rockefeller, John Edwards, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, they all thought it was terribly, terribly, terribly scary stuff. But my God, they didn't even see the stuff we were presenting to the president because that was really spooky.
Because it was dramatic and we made it so. It's just conjure it up. It's the worst.
Yeah, we got drama.
Oh, yeah, we got drama now, that's for sure. We've really got drama. We've got...
Do you suppose he gets a dramatic rendition of the death of any given American soldier that dies on any given American day in Iraq, David?
Oh, no. You can't be soiling the beautiful mind of a Bush with something like death of a... person.
I mean, who died and how many and why? Why would he want to pollute his beautiful mind on that?
Well, the why is always them. The why is always them. And this incredible deception they're trying to put together that somehow Bill Clinton either started it, would have done it, or I fully expect to turn on right-wing radio and hear that, just as you said, it was really Bill Clinton impersonating the president that really started it.
Well, I mean, if you the current tactic, David, is to say, well, you know, the Democrats are in the minority and they're the ones that started the war. You know, it's John Kerry's fault. It's really Ted. It's John Edwards' fault. It's Joe Lieberman's fault. It's Hillary Clinton's fault. They were in the minority. They voted for it. It's their fault. But you know what? None of them were president at the time, and none of them in March 2003 said that he had run out of patients. None of them ran the inspectors out of Iraq when the inspectors were sending back day by day messages, nothing here.
They weren't finding anything because there wasn't anything there. And if Bill Clinton said, and I believe that he did, regime change is fine by him, it's more like ripe apples falling from trees. It's not chainsawing down the whole damn forest.
And if somebody wants to topple him, we're certainly not going to stop him.
No, it is just what you said. It's any effort that we can put forward to foster a genuine democracy, let them figure it out, let them realize that he has squandered a lot of his power, that the biggest thing he had going for him was an internal police force that was dwindling and weakening and falling into disrepair, falling into dishonest trading and smuggling, not so much supporting him. That was the big thing that we found out when we went over there. It was a hollow, rusty shell.
Hey, David, stick around for a minute. Let's put you on hold, and we'll finish this conversation after the top of the hour, all right?
Sure.
All right, this is Head On.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle. For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, right at 6 minutes after the hour. Let's make this one count. Get Monday. Send Monday home with a smile on its face. Of course, the local phone number is 304-658-3333. Email to Bob at headonradio.com or my lovely wife, Agnes, at headonradio.com. And David has waited with us through the break. We were in the midst of a rather scintillating conversation, and I hated to cut it short. Let's go back. David, you still with us?
Indeed.
Wonderful. We were talking before the break, David, about this issue of Democrats criticizing Dear Leader for the fact that they were made part of a con, and the criticism coming back from the Republican parties is, well, you know, you're the ones who voted for it. And as such, you know, I'm reminded of the guy, who's at fault? The guy, is the drunk behind the wheel at fault, or is it the guy who distills the liquor? Does that make any sense?
Well, of course it does, but I think it's less in George's favor than an argument even like that. The Democrats, based on shaky information, primarily guided and presented, and I believe created, at the very least altered, if not flat out created. I mean, we now know about Curveball. We now know about Chalabi. We now know that Yellow Cake didn't exist. All of this other. And the Democrats felt there was a head of steam up for this. And I want to make one small point, one little distinction that I think a lot hinges on. We really, the bill that Kerry and Democrats voted for, it wasn't spelled out. We will go attack tomorrow morning.
No, it said authorize the use of force if necessary.
There were a lot of steps that could have, should have been taken. There were ways to establish firmly, honestly, concretely, one way or the other, whether or not our armed forces should have entered that country in the way that we did. George, as you have said so many times, lost his patience. He didn't need, I don't think he had any patience for this when he got into office. He's had this to do on behalf of his daddy for stinking ever, a decade. And he's got the neocons with the, what's that little group that's got the...
PNAC?
Well, the Republicans for the next world millennium.
Yeah, Project for a New American Century, PNAC.
Thank you very much. He's had all of these very bright, very dedicated, misguided, malevolent people feeding that, pouring that into that hollow head of his. Well, of course he wanted to go to war. And once he had war as an option, once he had armed conflict as an option off of that vote, he was off and running. And I think as a recently illegally elected president, talking a lot about what all he had accomplished, I'm sure it was tougher than it might have been at other times to stand up to that level of pressure, a Republican Congress. The pressure on Democrats to go along with it and give him that option, but he then just leapfrogged over every other thing that could have been done.
Well, you know, that whole use of force if necessary language sort of, you know, if you hang something like if necessary on there, that means that you are, honest to God, you're going to try other means, doesn't it, David?
It always has to me. It should have to him.
But didn't. If necessary, that's a loaded phrase that, if necessary, if it turns out the inspectors find weapons.
And don't I remember correctly, haven't we in only the past few months, less than a year, don't we know now rather conclusively, don't we know that Saddam was making serious overtures to play along, to maybe even get out of the country?
Oh, a couple of weeks ago, the State Department finally confirmed that, in fact, he had accepted the idea of going into exile. And we said, uh-uh.
No, you didn't do it convincingly enough. You didn't say uncle loudly enough. You didn't say uncle soon enough. I'm really a bully. You didn't do it to suit me. So even though you did what I told you, I'm going to do it.
But that was our MO, for God's sakes. Remember when we demanded that he give us a list of everything, and he turned over pages, and his people turned over pages and pages and pages and pages, and we said, well, it's all in Arabic. He's lying.
What is he going to write it in? Mandarin?
English. Yeah, English is the official language of surrendering to America.
If I scream English loud enough, the world will understand.
Precisely. So we've got another one of these sound bites from Chinless Ken. And I thought you might enjoy it because we talked about it, but we do need to reinforce the fact, David, this is Clinton's fault.
Yeah, I'm going to be a tough sell on that, Bob.
Here it comes.
The reason it's irresponsible for them to say that is because of the fact that they looked at the same information, the previous administration looked at the same information, and they all came to the exact same conclusions. And to say that somehow someone was trying to mislead is irresponsible.
You hear? It's Clinton's fault. He looked at it. He left a little box with a ribbon on it that said, "Dear George, please invade Iraq."
That is such a pack of lies.
Yeah.
Face to face, the two men at that moment when the outgoing world leader is speaking to the incoming world leader, be careful of Al-Qaeda. Never mind Iraq, be careful of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Saddam doesn't matter. Bin Laden does. And now then, the information has been ginned up, trumped up, manufactured, turned inside out. This, you know, the pig's ear is now a wonderful silk purse. And, oh, but the previous administration bought it. Well, the previous administration knew there were weapons of mass destruction in 1990.
Right.
But not 2000.
And even, even if Clinton thought that, if Daddy Bush thought that, by the time, as I mentioned the other night, by the time the inspectors were in there, and they were in there, and they were going anywhere they wanted to go, and they said, "Ain't nothing here." So no matter what Bill Clinton thought in 1998, in February of 2003, we knew there was nothing there, regardless of what John Kerry thought when he voted for the resolution, or Hillary Clinton, or Edwards, or God knows Joe Mendham Lieberman, regardless of what they thought when they voted for that resolution in October or November of 2002. By February 2003, David, we knew it was all hogwash.
And very honestly, no politician. And let's be sensible about politicians. America, a couple of years after 9/11, is not in the mood to take armed conflict off the table. I've been in union negotiations. You put the strike on the table to make sure everybody understands you're serious. Fine. George had invasion on the table to make sure everybody understood we were serious. But then to leap over all this other, ignore the inspectors. And how long had, gosh, I'm so sorry, I can't remember the UN inspector's name that was so diligent, so hardworking.
Delfer?
I'm sorry?
Delfer?
Could have been.
Scott Ritter?
No, somebody else.
Mohammed Al-Baradei?
Not him.
The other one. can't tell the UN inspectors without a program because we had so cotton picking many of them over there.
Well, exactly. And, you know, unfortunately, I said I couldn't remember him, and even prompted with his name. Now I can't remember. But they went there and they looked. And I remember one of the things that the Bush administration put forward when all of those documents in Arabic, imagine that, but you didn't list any weapons of mass destruction. their four-year line. No, 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 I didn't list any because they aren't here, Mr. President.
Yeah, but wait a minute, David. You got to remember, we don't want our next piece of evidence to be a mushroom cloud.
Would we have been safer if we waited until Saddam Hussein, who we know repeatedly has used weapons of mass destruction, who we know from the Dulfer report was trying to reconstitute his weapons program, who we know had invaded his neighbors, had supported terrorists, had terrorists operating out of his country, if we had waited till it was finally reconstituted, would that have been responsible? Let's also remember the history of intelligence.
The history of intelligence.
Oh, God. Intelligence in the White House.
Oh, but the thing, yeah, we know he's used chemical weapons. Yeah, hell yeah, he used chemical weapons. We sold him.
And that was 10 or 11 or 12 years before the time we're talking about.
Yeah, and he used the chemical weapons we sold him on the people we wanted him to use the chemical weapons on. That's why we sent Donald Rumsfeld over there. That's why that photograph exists of him standing there shaking Saddam Hussein's hand, and Donald Rumsfeld is smiling like a fox eating stuff out of a wire brush.
Well,
so, of course he did. But he didn't do it in Kuwait.
No. And after we had treated him in that way, of course he was surprised when we said we're going to attack. We had supported him previously.
Well, the Glaspie memo. I mean, it's there's so much of this stuff, David, it's almost impossible to keep track of. The April Glaspie memo that started the first Iraq war, when April Glaspie at the State Department wrote to Saddam and said, you know, the United States does not get involved in Arab-Arab conflicts. Because he, being our guy, just like Manuel Noriega used to be Poppy Bush's guy, he, being our guy, wrote and asked Mother May I about invading Iraq, and we said, what do we care? It's an Arab-Arab conflict.
Just as I said, he was our guy. He felt he had a pass. Sure, we said things publicly, but that's just politics for the home audience, just like he did. All we've got to do, Bob, all we've got to do is just keep reading the newspapers, the more legitimate ones, especially the Christian Science Monitor, and keep our eyes and ears open, and they will provide us with everything we need to expose them. And America's beginning to figure it out. There is a groundswell, and this business of Bush going to a foreign land won't have a news conference in this country. Refuses to have a news conference in this country. Takes a week-long trip somewhere the hell else, gets in front of news cameras, and says, it's okay if you have questions about a war. That's democracy. But, and this is me translating, but if you offer any points that actually prove I'm an idiot, then you're a bad American. And that's what he has said in four different countries over the last 2 weeks. Don't bring up anything that reveals my dishonesty, my lunacy, and my absolute inattention to any detail. Don't bring that up. It makes you a bad American.
You can't let them in here. They'll see everything. They'll see the big board.
Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Oh, God, how I wish we could.
But we can't.
David, it's been a blast. I appreciate it.
Oh, Bob, thank you, and keep up the good work.
Gonna try. Thanks. Later.
Yeah.
In Panama last week, you know, I mentioned this to you, on the same day that dear leader said,
we do not torture,
five soldiers were indicted, or whatever it is, and under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, for torturing people, detainees, prisoners of war, you know, that kind of thing. So, then, out of yesterday's news reports, in an important clarification. Oh, God, here they're clarifying again. Remember when they were trying to clarify the stream rule with mountaintop removal? They were going to clarify it to mean that, we're clarifying the rule. What we mean to clarify is the fact that we can bury any old coal company it wants to, can bury any old nasty little stream that it wants to. In an important clarification of President George W. Bush's earlier statement, a top White House official refused to unequivocally rule out the use of torture. arguing the U.S. administration was duty-bound to protect Americans from terrorist attack. You got that? So, George, dear leader, is standing there in Panama,
we do not torture.
The comment by U.S. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley, who had to cover this in a dead-run hurry, came amid heated national debate about whether the CIA and other U.S. intelligence agencies should be authorized to use what is being referred to as enhanced interrogation techniques to extract from terror suspects information that may help to provide prevent future assaults. Yeah, okay. So what Hadley said is the president has said that we're going to do whatever we do in accordance with the law. But you see the dilemma. What happens if on September 7th of 2001 we'd gotten one of the hijackers, based on information associated with that arrest, believed that within 4 days there's going to be a devastating attack on the United States? It was a difficult dilemma. It's a difficult dilemma. Well, wait a minute. I thought George Bush was the one who said, you're either with us or you're against us. We do not torture. And Stephen Hadley comes out yesterday and says, much. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Dilemma. See, I like that word, dilemma.
Reminds me of lemons. Dilemmons.
Okay, if Garth Brooks is going to go selling his records only through Walmart, does that mean that Governor Richardson from New Mexico is only going to be collecting donations at Taco Bell?
Oh, you're just so wrong.
Well, you know, you sit around, you come up with ideas.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I like torture. I like torture.
Yeah, we do not torture much, often.
That's what I like to do on the ranch when the press not there and I have to clear that damn brush. You
know? Yeah, I go over there and Laura says to me, torture.
I get that cattle stick. I don't know what it's called.
So, Chris, is it true that you're off to Louisiana?
Oh, yeah.
When's that go down?
I was thinking about going right after Thanksgiving, but I think I'm going to wait till first year.
Okay.
And go. The money's just too extreme to pass up.
Right. Well, I certainly understand that, and your family will be the better for it as long as you stay out of the toxic soup.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be directing people going into the toxic soup.
Nice.
Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. Here, the toxic soup right over there. You go that way. No, you go that way. And the Bush administration's right down the middle. That biggest heap over there, that's what we're going to leave that one alone. Yeah, I'm going to go. Well, most assuredly.
Well, best of luck to you.
Well, I'll be reporting back.
Oh, absolutely. Set up a computer down there. Tell your friends, your neighbors.
Well,
gather around at the end of the day. And
the end of the day, I imagine I'm pretty cross. We're going to try and get us an apartment and have some comfort.
You going to be right there in New Orleans?
Yeah. Yeah, once we get through with what we're going to be doing, We're going to head over to the ninth quarter of the level at. So you'll probably see me on CNN.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for you.
During the rioting, you'll probably see me.
Yeah, Agnes says don't forget to get your inoculations and your shots and whatnot.
I'll be the big guy with a beard wearing the hazmat suit, holding back the crowd with a little orange flag.
Oh, no, you're not one of those flagmen the Chamber of Commerce are so fond of railing against. Well, that person's making $12 an hour, and they're a flagman.
That's exactly what I'm going to be making.
Wow.
$12 an hour, but everything after 40 is time and a half, and we work about 80 hours a week. So.
Well, that'll be nice.
Yeah, that's 40.
Any idea how long it's for?
40-something thousand a year. That's 22 months. But we'll probably get a new contract after that.
Wow.
It's going to take a while. You got to get all the crap out of there, then you got to rebuild. Well, you
sure.
Got to get crap out of there. Then you got to move the earth in there. Then you got to rebuild.
Oh, that's just going to be a load of fun.
Well, you know, as long as the checks don't bounce, I'll hang around there as long as they have it. Then, you know, Mother Nature will call something else, and we'll go there.
So is the Mansell Report taking a hiatus as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought I would clear my mind out before I went.
You got to get your mind right.
Yeah, if you're going to torture, you got to focus. I'm going to miss watching John Stewart and listening to you, I tell you.
No, we may have to find a way to ship you a computer and some sort of a hookup. I don't know.
I might have to get me a laptop and fill the dreaded AOL route.
Yeah, or, you know, and the archives are always there, so you can get your fix one way or the other.
You know, what kills me is I used to be an AOL person back in the early days of home computers.
Right.
In the early 90s. And now I'm on a cable connection, which is incredible. But my favorite actress is Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I hear the commercial with her voice saying, "You need to be on AOL." And I'm always, "Yes, Julia.
I need to be on AOL."
One of my best friends lives like a mile away from her.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, back in my bad old telemarketing days, Chris, I hustled my fair share of AOL, and I figure I got a lot to work off in purgatory or whatever for some of the things I did.
Well, I helped get Bob James elected, so there's teachers all over the state of Alabama want my head.
Woo! Yeah, you got a lot to work off. Chris, we got to roll. Awful good to hear from you.
All right. You'll hear some more from me before I go.
All right, great. Take care. All right, break.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Do you really want to make me cry?
right, let's take it home. 27 minutes before the hour, that was abrupt, but these things happen. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and, we were talking about Bush, A, we don't torture, B, Stephen Hadley, National Security Advisor and underling pupil to kind of sleazy Rice, coming out and saying, well, yeah, the president was right, we don't torture, but... And deep in the text of this particular story, Vice President Dick Cheney is pushing to safeguard the option of using the enhanced interrogation techniques, which, of course, that's not torture, in order to get information from detainees in extraordinary circumstances. You know, making these guys understand that the information you get from torture is not useful, it could be very easily accomplished. You know, Ken Melman, I'm sure, under the right circumstances, would scream that he was a girly man Democrat if the right techniques were applied. Now, does that mean he's a Democrat? Of course not. He's a Republican. But under the right circumstances with the right techniques, any human being will say anything that you want them to say if they think that it's going to make the agony cease. There's an old joke that used to go around to the effect of there was this couple that had a cabin in one of the national forests here in wild, wonderful West Virginia. And they went up for a weekend only to find that the cabin had burned. So, they, since it was federal property, they called in the FBI. And the FBI performed a 9-month investigation, issued a 2,000-page report, and utilized 150,000 man-hours of investigation. And the report, in essence, in the executive summary said, we believe the perpetrator who burned down these people's cabin was, in fact, a bear. So then the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms comes in, and they perform a 1-week investigation involving laying siege to the cabin property and eventually burn down the cabin and issue a report saying, we too believe the perpetrator of the fire, the arsonist, in fact, was a bear, and the bear died in the blaze. Then they send in the West Virginia State Police. One lone state trooper wanders off into the woods, comes back 2 hours later with a groundhog in handcuffs that is beaten half to death and bleeding from every orifice that it has, and the groundhog is screaming, I confess, I'm a bear. You see, that's torture.
Leave the state troopers alone, Bob.
Well, it's not about the state troopers, dear. It's about torture. It's about what someone will say if they are subjected to enough agony. But enough of that. Wayne's with us on the phone. Hey, Wayne, you're Head On. Hey, man.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. You?
Good, good. Well, that's exactly... Can you imagine that? I mean, you have the Vice President of the United States going around campaigning for torture.
It sort of makes your eyes roll back in your head, doesn't it?
It really does.
That's America now.
It really does.
America is the place where the vice president campaigns for the right to torture people.
Yeah. Aren't we wonderful? I just want word to Chris. Did Chris say $12 an hour?
Yeah.
But everything else is paid?
That's his understanding, yeah.
Okay. They reinstated Davis Bacon.
Right.
Okay, so, and, you know, I've looked at it a little bit. Between counties and parishes and stuff, it can get very confusing. And wages are different from, you know, one location to the other.
They certainly are.
But what I would advise Chris, and hopefully he would advise his other co-workers and everybody, keep very accurate records of what you do.
Every hour?
You know, I mean, you know, November 18th, I went to work. I did this for this many hours. This many hours I did this, I had a total of 12 hours.
Right.
But you want to mark the different things because just because they hire you as a laborer doesn't mean that's the only rate that they give you or can give you.
Mm-hmm.
If they put you to work tying rebar, well, then you get the iron worker's rate.
Really?
Well, exactly. There's different classifications. That's the biggest way of cheating on prevailing wage is misclassifying people, calling everybody a laborer.
Because that's generally the lowest pay scale.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the next thing you know, they're glazing windows or something.
Exactly. Or doing more skilled work.
Right.
That according to the law, we're not asking for anything special.
But if you're hired on
the law.
Right. And if you're hired on
it's very hard for a lot of these people.
Really.
That's all we're really asking. I mean, not anything special. Just obey the law.
Yeah, but
they have a real hard time with that.
Yeah, it's a real problem across the board, apparently. I mean, you know, Bill Charnock in the prosecutor's office.
Oh, exactly. I mean, did you see this guy on Veterans Day? Talk about rewriting history. I mean, you know, these people have the George Orwell Award locked up for the next quarter century.
Oh, I know.
Even after they're all gone, they'll still be getting it because they'll be finding out more revisionist history that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it blew me away. I had no idea. When I listened to that speech Friday, Wayne, I had no idea we were in Iraq because of John Kerry.
Yeah, well, me neither. And then that's only because of his good friend Bill Clinton.
God. And not a damn word about veterans in there.
No. These people are... it's absolutely amazing. It's so hard for me not to call that other show in the morning.
Yeah.
Because I want to, you know, I know I only have a few seconds.
Yeah.
so I'd really have to pick my words real quick, you know.
Yeah, auctioneer style.
You don't have to say them real fast, just be quick. I mean, he doesn't catch on real quick. You know, by the time you get to the end of the, you could get your sentence in. Before he realizes you just juiced him, or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, God.
It's absolutely amazing. It looks like, I think this Supreme Court nominee is in serious trouble, too.
Well, you know, there was some new paperwork out today.
Yes, I heard it.
I
think you told me.
Yeah, he was very, very proud of the work that he did trying to make sure that women can't control their own insides.
Yeah.
And that stuff, you know, that's something that's got his own signature on it. But then again, so that promise not to judge cases involving Vanguard also had his own signature on it. So, you know.
Picky.
Yeah, I know. You know, who wants, you know, why should we care if he wants to have little girls strip searched?
Yes. Oh, hey, I heard an interesting story today. I have to check it out. I'm sure it's true. I have to find out some more facts, though. Four or five people got laid off at the Walmart in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Today because their employer from, I believe, North Carolina didn't want to pay West Virginia workers comp.
And these were West Virginia workers?
And these were West Virginia workers.
So these guys were laid off for the desperate crime of being West Virginians?
Exactly. Exactly. We're going to build a store in your state, in your community, but we can't employ any of your people because we don't want to pay your workers comp. Now, the way our wonderful law is written, an out-of-state company has 90 days that they could work here without worrying about West Virginia workers' comp as long as their employees are covered by comp in whatever state that they came from.
Right.
And, so, you know.
Do we have any idea how long they were on the job?
Who knows? Does anybody monitor that? No. You know, but the out-and-out layoff, now these guys all worked a week.
Yeah.
And we're going back to, you know, so apparently they just found this out. But anyway, I'm going to check it out some more. And so what? So, I mean, here's, okay, isn't economic development supposed to
benefit the
everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, except, well, except the construction workers in West Virginia weekend.
Those West Virginia construction workers, they hadn't happened to sign a union card or anything, had they?
No, they hadn't.
Oh, darn.
No, they hadn't.
That could have made it more interesting.
Yes, they could. It could have. But, you know, there's still time. What's Buzz Flash is...
Yeah, so many Republican hypocrites, so little time.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Wayne, let's try out some of the new technology here for a second.
Oh, what are we going to
do? Chris is back with us for a little clarification. Let's see if we can tie him into this phone call.
Okay.
All you got to, yeah, just punch. No. Yeah. There we go. You there, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, we got Chris.
Hey, all right.
We got Chris, me? We got Wayne, we got a party.
Yes, then.
Okay.
Boy, thank you so much.
Let me clarify. I am going to be working with my direct boss, my brother boss, and he is working for a contractor in Georgia who is contracted to work in one of the cleanup.
It doesn't matter, FEMA. You are working on a project funded by the federal government.
Yes.
Bush initially suspended Davis-Bacon, which is a federal prevailing wage law. Can you? Is that better?
Okay, I think we've still got some bugs to work out, Wayne, but we made it work a little bit.
Yeah, did we lose him?
No, he's still with us. He's on hold, and I hope he's hearing us.
Okay. Anyway, I'll talk to Bob later, and I'll get Chris's number so I could talk to him. And you know what I mean?
Just, yeah.
And because, like I say, all we're asking people to do is obey the law.
Right.
Now, all this stuff is being federal, you know, funded by the federal government. It's emergency that, you know, he is, on November the 8th, he rescinded his executive order.
On Davis-Bacon.
So all the rules apply. And, like you say, later on, I'll get Chris's number from you or something.
Yeah, we're getting that right now so that you can be in touch with him.
And I'll call him and, you know.
Yeah.
Not tonight, though, because I got to go to bed, because I got to get up early, because, you know.
Well, yeah.
But I'll call him.
Okay. All well, right. we've got the number for you there, so. And, you know, going.
That was cool.
Yeah, going in with your eyes wide open is very important.
Well, yeah, it is. And more. Different people have different positions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, can live with, you know, whatever contract or whatever thing they've made. I'm concerned with people being. I want people to know what their rights and what their pay should be, and what the rules are.
Well, I don't think God knows there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't.
You know, just because you work for a living doesn't mean that you're automatically stamped as a sacrificial lamb, for God's sakes.
No, we've been working. People have been sacrificial lambs for far too long, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the our current administration wants to make you more so a sacrificial lamb, especially labor people.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
That's the way I feel.
Well, I think you're absolutely right in that.
So, anyway, what else happened today?
Oh, let's see. Turns out that the CIA apparently tortured a guy to death.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's always interesting.
But we don't torture. How could we do that?
Well, it was enhanced. We enhanced interrogated him to death.
Oh, okay.
And he was one of those ghost detainees at one of the ghost prisons that we don't have any of.
Right.
So, you know, that's all.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be enhanced by any of these people, that's for sure.
No, or God knows you don't want to get clarified either.
Oh, no. They also do that for the time and a half rules, too, remember?
Yeah, yeah. They
clarified those.
Yeah, they clarified OT.
Yeah.
they clarified the Clean Air Act.
Clarifiers.
They clarified the logging rules.
Mining.
Mining, and yeah. Some clarifications closed today with regard to national forest land in West Virginia.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they want to go in and clarify out a whole bunch more trees, you know, for that healthy forest initiative.
Trees cause fires, you know.
Yes, they do.
Well, get rid of the damn thing.
Yeah, no more trees, no more fires.
There you go. My gosh, I mean that's simple.
Jeez, oh, let's see. Our buddies, the Saudis, that we don't want to really criticize that much.
Yeah.
They sentenced a teacher to 40 months in prison and 750 lashes for mocking religion by reading the Bible to little Saudi children.
Oh, okay.
This is the best part. From it's kind of a backup to Friday.
They don't have separation of churches.
No, and we just hate it here too.
Yeah, and we're thinking about getting rid of it here.
I mean, you know that Dobson. Well, you know, you got to remember Dobson's the one that says beat a child until he cries real tears.
Yeah,
you know that's got to be right up Dobson's alley. That's his kind of people, those Saudis. But one of the funniest stories from Friday to today. Is that holier than thou sanctum sanctorum senator up in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
The guy that plays with fetuses.
Yeah.
Bush delivered his little historical revisionism speech in Pennsylvania Friday.
In his state, yeah.
Yeah.
Where was Rick?
His mom was calling him.
Oh, okay.
He heard his mom calling.
Okay.
Dog ate the invitation.
There's some.
Couldn't make it.
There's some really serious stuff going on. Pennsylvania did what, you know, the legislature earlier in the year voted themselves an astronomical pay raise.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I am, with focus on the first syllable of that word.
Astronomical.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. And have they rescinded it?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
I think a lot of people are backing off of it.
Are they?
I mean, I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I have
right.
People call me up and say the people are going nuts. I mean, they're going nuts. You know, these guys voted themselves, in most cases, like 60 and 70% pay rates.
Hoo-wee, good work if you...
Yeah.
I want to be a legislator, man.
And they say, well, that's justified because... Because
we're the hardest working legislature in show business.
You know, look at all we do. What have you done? Well, you have to talk to my secretary.
Well, that's like, well, with Santorum, he's turned, you know, he's been such an absolute freak on the other side. He couldn't quite find his way to Ballyhoo, Pennsylvania, or wherever it was that Bush was. He couldn't find that on Friday. Lost the map. That's what, dog ate the map.
You look at that guy. There's something's weird about that guy. That guy's one of those. What did Arnold used to play, them cyborg?
Yeah, Terminator types with
that's Santorum. I don't know if he's really from Pennsylvania or not.
Well, he's from Pennsylvania Mars.
Right.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, today he decided to come out, and I mean, this guy's a real religious loony, but he is so far behind Casey in the polls for his reelection. Today he said... He decided he's against intelligent design. You know, the whole thing.
Santorum.
Yeah, Santorum is. That goes against what he wrote several years ago when he said that intelligent design is a legitimate scientific theory that should be taught in the classroom. Wayne, does that qualify as, what's that phrase? I remember it from the campaign. There was a fish in a flip-flop. Would that be a flip-flop?
Yes, it would.
Would that mean that Rick Santorum was for intelligent design before he was against it? Just like they said about John Kerry.
Exactly.
Oh, this guy's a freak.
Exactly.
This guy's a complete freak.
He would have voted yes, but he had to vote no.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, let's see. Alito argued against abortion rights and against quotas and was proud of it. Disabled American veterans came out and said that they wouldn't throw a warm bucket of spit on George Bush if he was on fire. And this was the best one. This is right up there with Santorum losing, you know, the dog ate my invitation. Doug Forrester, the guy that was running against John Corzine for governor of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Well, he came out today and explained why he lost.
Why?
It's George Bush's fault. He said it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He said, if Bush
I'm sure we have a million tapes of that. It will be coming to your Republican theater shortly.
Yeah, and Doug Forrester had better stay off small single-engine aircraft for a while. That's all I can tell him.
That's exactly right.
He'll get well-stoned.
God.
If Bush's numbers were where they were a year ago or even 6 months ago, I think we would have won on Tuesday. I don't think that there's any candidate that has ever received such a pounding.
Well, see, at least he's honest.
Yeah. Maybe for that, once in his life.
Maybe that losing really does something to you.
Yeah, well, what's that phrase? Sore loser, man. I remember that from 5 years ago. Hey, Wayne, we got to get out of here.
All right, brother. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Take care.
All right, man. Bye.
And, of course, the show tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. Brian Reznor announces for us. Randy Kerbway engineered the whole affair. Ben Birch archives the show as well as managing our stream there at whiterosesociety.org. And above and beyond and always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.